T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Normally, long snappers like to be anonymous, but not today.
Patrick Manley.
My all-time favorite bear would have to be Patrick Manley.
Bears long snapper for 16 seasons.
Pat Manley, the long snapper, Maynard, put it in position, and Robbie Gould sends the Bears to the NFC Championship game.
The longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
Captains the midfield for the coin toss. Patrick Manley breaking an all-time Bears record for games played.
You know, it's great that they have one of the most competent combinations between the snapper, holder, and kicker.
Ed Block, Courage Award winner.
But it's a major award. I won it.
Damn, hell, you say you won it?
Craft beer mogul.
Long snapper IPA. The can of me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino.
Purveyor of a sweet-ass mullet.
Will you keep the Manley mullet?
The mullet? My wife won't let me cut it yet.
Patrick Manley.
Morning, Manley. Patrick Manley. Over there looking like Kenny Chesney. I've never seen him play a guitar in my life. I've known him since 1998. He's hanging guitars. But it's all perception, man. You know, just hang things on your wall. So, pull that off, play us a song, man. We got 5 minutes.
Nope. Can't do it.
With Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Where the top of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. We'll talk to Mark Grody in about half an hour, maybe a little less. Pat joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Pat, yesterday, first regular season game for Long Snapper IPA at Soldier Field, yes?
Yes, it was. Hopefully they sold a lot of it.
Okay, I was wondering, do you get a weekly report, or how does it work to have your own beer at an NFL stadium?
That's a good question. I don't know. I need to ask my we got to get lawyers involved with that, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just excited to have a beer there. It's just kind of cool to me, and hopefully people bought quite a few and enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. So, I mean, the possibility exists that there could have been fans being unruly, loud, and stupid based on your beer, Pat. Congratulations.
See, I'm trying to help the team out. I help the defense out. That's what I'm trying to do.
Congratulations.
A little louder.
That's nice. And you can go on our Twitch page right now. Just search 670 The Score on Twitch. You can see Pat Manley and the aforementioned guitars hanging on the wall. Which was the more real or representative performance by that Bears defense, the Rams game or the Bengals game?
I mean, they're both complete opposite games, Danny. I mean, they screwed it up the first game with the mental mistakes and no turnovers. And then to me, they went out, you know, grabbing 4 takeaways. That's above and beyond, I think, what you expect each week. So I think it's somewhere in between is the answer. But I'd rather see the game from yesterday. But I thought everybody who performed poorly against the Rams stepped up and played a lot better against the Bengals. And that's what you wanted to see, was the bounce back and to come back and kind of show their true colors of who they truly were. And I think we saw that. But I don't think we can expect 4 turnovers every game. I mean, to have 3 consecutive passes be intercepted, that was crazy. Those were couch noises, as Speak says.
nine quarterback pressures, Pat, by 8 different people. I felt like I saw a lot of good scheming by Sean Desai to get pressure. You tell me about Sean Desai's game plan, what you saw.
I thought it was great, and you said it right there with 8 different guys getting pressure. That means he's getting guys into the game plan and getting them open. Like the Roquan Smith sack, nobody blocked him. You know, he just had a free run to the quarterback, and that has to do with Sean Desai scheming up something they weren't ready for. Obviously, everybody's talked about the Khalil Mack and the Robert Quinn sack, you know, the sack that Quinn had. Well, they ran it later in the game as well, and it caused a huge pressure, and Burrow had to run out and get out of bounds. So he schemed up a lot of things that were very successful, and I love that one, being more creative of where they're almost having to double-team Akeem and then put two guys and a running back on Quinn and Mac, and they're going to beat those guys, you know, especially with the talent that the Bengals had on that offensive line. So it has a lot to do with Sean Desai and what he schemed up for all those guys just to get them all free, and that was impressive. But now here's the thing, guys. It's been scouted, right? He's put it out there. He's a new defensive coordinator. Some of these looks maybe coaches haven't seen. Now they can. Now they've seen him. Now they can match up personnel and understand where guys are coming from. So let's see what Sean does next. Let's hope he continues to grow and continues to put together game plans like this. But I think that's what's going to be interesting, to see how teams react to what Sean put on tape and then what Sean can put back out there and how the guys execute it.
Well, I suppose it's like a pass rusher in that way. Show them one move, and then you got to have a counter ready when they stop it. Is it as simple as, you know, not depending on Mac and Hicks to dominate their man, or in Mac's case, to dominate a couple guys and get there? Like, I think Khalil Mack needs some help at this point, and scheming to help him is not a bad idea.
Agreed, and I think we saw it with Vic Fangio, right? We saw a lot of different blitzes of, you know, even when Mack was out covering the slot, you'd still get pressure when Fangio was here with other stuff he drew up, and I think that's what Sean Desai can possibly bring here, and I think we saw some of that yesterday. So, yeah, I hope that continues. They do need help. I mean, Roquan Smith is an excellent blitzer. I think he's a good guy. You saw it off the edge yesterday, and I think we've seen it in the past too. Even when he gets up in the middle and mugs up the center or whatever, he's able to get some pressure as well when they're bringing all those different looks and trying to show stuff from one side and they come from the other. But it was good to see. It was really good to see. And just hopefully they continue doing that. But I think a lot, again, it goes back to Sean Desai to be able to scheme up the stuff to get the guys open the way he did yesterday.
All right. So, Pat, everything that we know, bone bruise, ligaments intact. He said, Matt Nagy says Andy Dalton is the starter when healthy. You saw the limitations when he went back into the game yesterday. What does your instinct tell you about bone bruise for Andy Dalton in terms of a timeline here?
That I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. And I don't know how different people deal with pain. That could be one thing. It could be a pain issue. It could be, if it's not structural, then it is a pain. Then it's up to the player and how well they can deal with pain and how they can perform with that. But I have no problem. Let me go back to what you talked about with Matt Nagy kind of saying that Andy Dalton's still the starter. I think that's a gamesmanship between him being a coach and the defensive coordinator of the other team. So they can't prepare on just, you know, Justin Fields this week. I think it's a smart move. It doesn't matter that he hasn't named Justin Fields a starter yet. All that matters to is Justin Fields and the offensive staff to put their game plan together today and tomorrow, and then just present it to the guys Wednesday and then try to keep it secret for the weekend. But I have no problem with the way Matt Nagy's handled this. I know I've read some stuff on social media and Twitter and all that stuff. Like, well, just name the starter now. I think it's smarter if you don't. But to go back to Andy Dalton and the bone bruise, if he's injured, I don't want a limited Andy Dalton out there. I want Justin Fields out there.
He's already limited enough when he's healthy.
Well, he looked pretty good. You got to admit,
he
looked pretty good.
He did.
At the beginning of the game. He was the better quarterback yesterday when he played. Would you agree?
Yes, I absolutely would agree. My difference with, I guess, some more conventional football analysis in this town, or maybe old school football analysis in this town, is I don't think that matters all that much. Like, I know they say it does, and the most important thing in football is the next week's game, but as long as Justin Fields can protect himself out there, I find it to be, like, what happened yesterday, Pat? Yeah. To me, that is so valuable. Like, two false starts on a quarterback.
No doubt.
Learning lesson. Fumbling that ball and then diving on it. Learning lesson. The interception and the disguised coverage. Learning opportunity.
Sure.
Like, learning lesson, am I saying?
You're doing that what Nagy
did. I'm parroting Matt Nagy
about
here.
The safeties. It's a learning lesson using their skill talent.
But, you know, like that to me was – that's I have never once said Justin Fields is a finished product and is going to go out there and dominate from day one. I've simply said that it's very hard for you to convince me that he learned more in week one against the Rams than he learned in week two against the Bengals.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. And I think we all saw as fans, I think everybody was hoping for better, right? You wanted to see better. You didn't want to see him not be able to take a snap and jump off sides himself.
Yeah.
You don't want to see him get sacked and fumble. You just don't want to see those things. So here's the funny, when I watched that game, I'm like, well, that's what I thought I was going to see. Man, that wasn't a really good game. But if you're evaluating him, And you go back and look at the game, he missed the throw to Mooney right on the sideline of the Bengals. Could have been caught. I couldn't tell from the TV copy, yep. But as my dad used to say, if you can touch it, you can catch it. So maybe that's a catch, right? The drop by Robinson, that's a touchdown that would have been a huge play. Puts the game out of reach. The other one was the play to Kmet down the middle. That was a PI, which I didn't think it was a PI. That's three completions.
Yes.
So then he goes 9 for 14, including the one with Kmet, because that was not a play. That's a pretty good day for the guy, right? That's 64% completion rate. So you if you add
with
those,
over a, with guess, over 100 yards passing and yeah, and I mean, a touchdown.
And then if that happened, if those three completions counted, I would feel a lot better about the game. So evaluating him as an analyst as I am, I didn't like what I saw yesterday, but then you go back and watch the tape, as the coaches always say, there was some really good in there. And the other thing that was really good is when they called that quarterback sweep with Kmet coming around, he walks into the end zone if Jimmy Graham blocks his guy.
The worst.
If he can block that corner, yep. He might not walk in, but he's going to beat the guys to the pylon, and that's a touchdown instead of a field goal. So that's four plays right there that if they convert those and they do their job, he looks a lot better than he did yesterday with, you know, whatever he went, 6 for 13. You know, he ran the ball well, and obviously his athletic ability showed with those two great scrambles, one on Henderson and the one in 3rd and 9. But if you go back and watch it as a coach and you want to find some positives, you can see that it's that close for him to having an okay game as a rookie. I didn't think he had a good game. He admitted it. But if he makes those four plays, you know, then it's a pretty darn good game.
See, I think that's really astute stuff there, Pat, because – you know, yes, Dalton played well, and Dalton played better, and it's not taken anything from him. But you saw some incredible things from Fields. If you're just evaluating, too, there's the throw to Marquise Goodwin that he catches
that's
on the sideline. That should have been called out of bounds, but they didn't. Whatever. That was a frozen rope up high where no one could catch it except Goodwin. Dalton yep. can't make that throw. You know, so there's stuff like that. But look, a couple weeks ago, you said that Matt Nagy was waiting for Fields to know his entire offense until he was going to put him in. And I think you were 100% correct on that. Now is the moment where he's not ready to run 100% of that offense.
No.
But if he's going to play, and I think most of us think he's going to play, he didn't change it in the second half. 13 passes, they were all from the pocket. He needs to change the offense and adjust to what Fields can do, including what he doesn't know. Is Nagy capable of it?
I think he is. You know, if they know right now, I'm sure they know in their heart of hearts, you know, they've talked to the doctors and they're like, listen, Andy Dalton can't play. If that's what it is, then right now they're in Hallis Hall today and tomorrow. They are putting together an offense that is best suited for Justin Fields. I'm sure there's going to still be that scat protection, him sitting in the pocket, you know, trying to throw from there. But I think there's going to be a bunch more plays that they can run. They ran them last year with Mitch Trubisky, right? At the end of the year where he's booting out, having those level throws. So they're there. They've been installed. There's guys that are familiar with it. So just bring that out. And I'm sure in camp, you know, maybe they had a couple of those plays and they probably don't run them as much, but they're in the playbook. But they can bring those out. Then you rep those this week, and then you're ready to go. Then you give him a better chance to show off his ability. And if we don't see that, I will be extremely disappointed in Matt Nagy. And that's just kind of just his hard-headedness of saying, no, it's my offense. It's not about Justin Fields.
Yeah, this is a big week for that, man. This is a big week for this issue, and we've seen this issue for 4 years. And you better adjust this week.
And can I just say, like, the confidence level in Matt Nagy in this town that this is even a worry or a debate or a concern is so unbelievably low.
It is.
Because he drafted this guy.
I know.
Like
he drafted him, as you've said, he drafted him to play in his offense and be Mahomes.
I know, but the idea... like
in time, though. Hopefully it's in time.
Right.
Hopefully he is not hard-headed enough and says, listen, all right, he's our starter. He played pretty well. He made some mistakes on those little... you know, if he didn't make those mistakes, it's a much better game. But let's put something together for his strengths.
And do you have doubts? Because I will be floored.
Well, yes. Because I think what we've seen with the past with Mitch Trubisky, we have to have doubts, right?
Yeah.
It took him forever to give away play calling. It took him a while to go to that scheme that Mitch runs better, but runs better. So there are doubts there.
He should have learned. He better have learned by now, right?
Yes.
Theoretically
Agreed.
By now.
Yeah, theoretically Agreed. By now, because this is his guy, Mitch wasn't. And the whole quote-unquote plan was to have a package of plays for Justin Fields.
So use those.
Yep. So in theory, they're going to just use those packages of play, or that package of plays, right?
But I think what we've seen, so like when I talked about the quarterback sweep, I think that was a package play that was set for the red zone. So they pulled that one out. The question is, how many do they have, or are they just set for situations like that, that are kind of red zone situations, short yarded situations that can put, you know, the defense in conflict?
Right. What about third and 10 from your own 30?
Exactly. Exactly. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Second eight. And yeah.
And the other thing is that, like, success in that scheme, that adjusted scheme that we're talking about, is predicated on doing it off a run game. Like, mm-hmm. they're bootlegs because the run game is working. And look at Montgomery. Look at the way the line is blocking. It should be that way. So, but Nagy has been bullheaded about wanting to let the run game be the dictator. You have to do it. That's what they did with Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch.
Agreed. Well, let's talk about the run game real quick, because going back and watching that, watching the defensive end be in conflict on the zone read, that backside hole for David Montgomery is, you know, it's huge in NFL standards. So that is, that's he's already made a difference with that. There were a few runs late in the game that Montgomery's hitting the backside. Well, that end's just waiting and waiting and leaning more outside to cover up for Justin Fields, and then Montgomery's able to get up a few more yards before there's contact. So he's already playing a different role in that in the run game as well. And there are a few plays. I don't know if they were called handoffs. You know, sometimes they'll say, all right, just you're not reading it. I just want you to hand it off. There were one or two that if he kept, oh, man, there was one where they blitzed off the offensive right side and he handed it off, and it looked like he knew he made a mistake. They had three blockers on the right kind of in trips. He could have gone for 10, 15 yards. So there's some still learning curves in the run game as well in his reads, but there is a little bit of upside, There is a lot of upside after watching that game the second time. And the other thing, I don't know if you guys noticed, in the post-game press conference, you know, I'm not a big body language guy or whatever, but when Matt Nagy said Justin Fields, he had like a little smile on his face. Mm. I think he's excited.
Yeah, he should be.
That was the first time I saw that. I'm like, wait a minute. He looks a little excited talking about Justin. He's not just going through the game and this happened. Every time he kind of talked about Justin, he just had a little bit of a smile, and I was like, wait a minute, he might be excited about this.
Yeah, I mean, think about what he's had. Right. He was there with Alex Smith, and when they drafted Pat Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Then it's Mitch Trubisky.
Who he never wanted.
It's Mitch Trubisky. It's Chase Daniels.
This is his own child
it's
now.
It's Nick Foles.
Not a stepfather situation anymore.
Exactly. So he'll sink or swim with this dude, which is why I have to believe there will be – whether it works or not against the Browns, I don't know. But gut instinct, Pat, do you think Andy Dalton starts again for the Bears?
Not if Justin Fields goes out and performs. Not if he goes out and maybe say like yesterday, those plays that were just missed and those are made. I don't see why you put Andy Dalton back in.
Yeah, because to me what's interesting here is,
I think he can grow into that where he's going to make those plays.
Right, because they're a touchdown underdog to the Browns. Mm-hmm. The Browns are much better. They're on the road. This is a very difficult spot for Justin Fields. So, I can already tell you that, like, if the Bears lose, but Justin Fields doesn't look overwhelmed and is competitive, like, as long as it doesn't look like a college kid playing against pros, he should start the next week, you know,
I agree with that.
To build on it. If he throws four interceptions and takes a bunch of blindside hits that he doesn't even see coming, well, okay, fine.
Yes.
Then we have we've got a conversation on our hands. But assuming that doesn't happen, a win or a loss against Cleveland is not what should determine whether or not Justin Fields gets more starts. You agree?
Agreed. It should be how he looks, and you're right. You summed it up perfectly. That's the answer. I agree with that 100%. But the other thing that'll help the Bears too is that they kick it on fourth down.
Pat.
Yeah, see, it's not
fourth and one.
Fourth and one. Yeah. It's okay to take upset. The points. Right, it's okay listen, every once in a while. Tell them.
I'm not a math major. I'm a history major, right?
Okay.
History says they were 0-for-4 on fourth down the week before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your sample size is four plays.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. You kick the field goal. You go up two scores.
Okay, but
I'm a believer in going up two scores.
What
like
about
that.
More recent history? That the only drive you had before that ended in a touchdown. Right? 9-play, 75-yard touchdown drive to open the game.
Yeah, I know. So, you would think that Justin Fields would be able to take a snap and fall forward for a yard, but he stutter-stepped and didn't. So
right.
That's another mistake he made. But I'm just a believer in that situation right there as a coach. That would be my gut feeling in that situation against the Bengals at home. I'm kicking the field goal and going up 10. Maybe later on in the game I might do something different. But for that situation in the game, that would have been my call. And I think that's why, you know, coaches get scrutinized. That's why they get the big money. Mm. But that would have been my call.
49-yard field goal attempt.
48.
Okay.
Sorry. Just remember, the ball from the center to the holder is 8 yards, not 7. Right. That's one of my biggest pet peeves. When the announcers are like, 47-yard field goal, I'm like, nope. Every holder is 8 yards back.
That's my favorite that's my favorite part of Long Snapper IPA. When I buy one at Soldier Field, is on the back. It says pets Long Snapper pet peeves. Yes. And it's a list of them right there. Hey, remember last week when we were talking about Marquis Christian, who was a, as Pat had found out by talking to guys around the league, a four-phase special teamer, a backup safety, who all of a sudden last week was what? He was the Bears' starting corner. Right?
Yeah.
You know how many snaps he played on defense yesterday?
Zero.
Zero.
That's a good number.
That changed completely. What does that say about the overall?
No, but here's the problem. Duke Shelly didn't look any better.
No.
They've got no
They've got nobody. Duke Shelly played 48 snaps, 87% of the time. DeAndre Houston Carson was there in the dime on 16 snaps. Deion Bush for one snap. They are in trouble. Duke Shelly got destroyed anytime they threw at him, and they were targeting him like crazy. Kendall Vildor made a big play that he was happy about on a fourth down, but I mean, he was the starting corner opposite Jalen Johnson. They got troubles, man. Do you know Buster Skrine tried out for the Ravens like 5 days ago? He's one of four corners that tried out for the Ravens. I don't know whether he got dinged up or he's just old, but
bring him back, please.
Bring him back, right? Yeah. As bad as they are in the nickel, bring back Buster Skrine.
I would rather see him than the other two that are out there.
For sure.
Can't believe that Pat Manley is so conservative and scared.
Oh, how dare you just gloss over my hardcore nickel cornerback analysis. Just swept away as Danny tries to prove he's right about math.
First drive of the game, nine-play, 75-yard drive.
They're 0 for 5 on fourth down conversions.
God.
They're in the midst.
0 for 5.
Well, that was the fifth.
I'm saying for the whole year, they're 0 for 5.
Yeah.
That's math.
That's counting. 12-play drive.
That's how deep I go in my math.
I'll text you about the nickel. I'll text you about that stuff off the air, Pat.
All right, Pat. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Have a great week. We'll see you, man.
All right. That's Pat Manley. He does great work pre-post with us on Bears Mondays. No, your nickel point was salient.
I know.
I was just thinking about it. I was like, damn, like Boomer Esiason is worried about like protecting the quarterback. Hub Arkish only wants to play the veteran. Pat Manley wants to kick field goals on four.
I know.
Can we get a guest on the show that is of this century in football?
It's almost like you should listen to the people who played it.
Yeah, they're wrong.
That's not how he rolls.
They're wrong.
Do you remember last week after he argued with Hub for 10 minutes, Hub hung up and he made the same point to me to try to get me to validate the point that Hub just would not do?
Fourth and one from the 31. Let's kick a field goal. Okay. All right.
Seriously, I want to know why Buster Skrine is on the streets. I need to know why Buster Skrine is on Scott Podsednik's old couch. Can't get a job, and we're letting Duke Shelly get dominated.
It's true. The bar to clear to be a nickel corner for the Bears right now seems to be remarkably low. Well, let's ask a Bears reporter who was on the sideline providing useful nuggets and context and information. Moby Dipka, Mark Grody in studio next on The Score.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Where the bottom of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. There were fans at Soldier Field, and Mark Grody got to be on the sideline. What's up, Mark Grody?
Oh, it was so good to be out there in a real game with real, like a jam-packed, every seat was taken, getting to do the off-the-field interview for the first time in like 2 years as well. So that was a blast. And I have to say that I am heartened to report that when I walked into the studio, I was just eavesdropping. It was like I wasn't even here, just eavesdropping on a conversation between you two about going to a Bears game. That makes me so happy. It was intense planning. I love it. So it
not a Bears game.
a Wisconsin-Notre Dame
game. Oh, well, this changes everything.
At the home of the Bears, Soldier Field.
So I thought in 2 weeks you were going to a Bears game, Detroit, I guess that would be, with your dad. But you're planning something special.
Spoiler alert.
But I live in the hood where the Bears are, which is the genesis of the conversation. And seeing the blue and orange number people just walking all over the hood on Sunday, on a glorious day, made me want to go. Yeah. It really did. How was it to be on the field with fans there, Brody?
It felt so good, man. I mean, I don't think I've ever taken like a picture, like panorama of any crowd in any job that I've had covering sports. But in this case, I did, just because it felt so great to see everybody and to see the place jam packed and like this renewed spirit for the Bears, probably all centering on the guy who wears jersey number one.
Is the defense sign guy still there?
See, I don't know. See, I don't notice these things. Now he just blends in. So I didn't necessarily.
That's fascinating.
That doesn't mean he wasn't
there. Your job.
No. He is doing his job. He's looking at the field. He's looking at the players. He's looking he's on the air, Danny.
I can tell you the takeaway bucket is there. However, the takeaway bucket, dirty little secret here, only the sideline reporter is going to know this. The takeaway bucket was not used once in that game where the Bears had four takeaways.
The takeaway bucket is a sham?
No, it was sitting back there.
Well, no, but I mean, you got to get
I know.
Look at all these takeaways. You got to use the bucket.
The Roquan Smith one, he obviously handed to a fan. That's the only one that I can excuse. But other than that, I know this to be a fact because I was waiting. I was, okay, sideline. I positioned myself by the takeaway bucket after every takeaway just to see them slam it in there. Nobody did. So I don't know. There's been a breakdown with the takeaway bucket.
Now, that should – you'll get to talk to some defensive players this week.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow.
That's a legitimate question.
It is a legitimate question.
Why was the ball not put in the takeaway bucket?
I don't know if it's the first question at the press conference.
You decide on the sequencing and then report back.
Speaking of press conference, can we stop this like little gab fest we're having and get this hardcore Matt Nagy Bears stuff?
Please, what the hell happened today?
That was weird today.
Let's take a listen. It's Brad Biggs and Matt Nagy right here.
If Andy's healthy, is he your starter?
If Andy is healthy, is he your starter? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad. That's 100% scheme.
Personnel, maybe, but that's scheme.
Bears. All right.
So that's Brad saying, is Dalton your starter if he's healthy? That's scheme. That's not scheme. That is scheme.
Is that Biggs with the little at the very end of that clip?
Let's hear it again.
Is that the very end of that clip? It's just Brad Biggs is the
If scheme. Andy's healthy, is he your starter?
If Andy is healthy, is he your starter? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad. That's 100% scheme.
Personnel, maybe, but that's scheme.
No, it's Nagy.
That's Nagy.
Okay, that's Nagy. All right, well, that leads me to think that he is going to change the scheme drastically for Justin Fields, actually. That makes me feel better in that sense.
If you want to jump to that. But I should give the follow-up here. Shortly thereafter, the vice president of communication for the Bears walked back into the media room to deliver a message from the Bears head coach, Matt Nagy, that Andy Dalton is the quarterback when he's healthy. So he did, to Matt Nagy's credit, he wanted to clarify that little back and forth with Brad Biggs today. So that becomes the big question now.
Wait, I thought you had audio of this. Like, does the PR guy step up to the podium and you all put your recorders up there?
What this means is Nagy realized that he can still keep his precious secret, which this week I agree with, that it's useful to have the secret. I think it's okay. He can still keep his precious secret because it's about whether Andy Dalton is healthy or not. And he can massage that as the issue.
But does anyone think the Browns are going to game plan for Andy Dalton this week?
No, but they would spend more time on the Justin Fields package if they think it's going to be him, don't you think?
My thing is they will spend all of the time on the Justin Fields package. Matt Nagy cannot announce it. This is textbook NFL secrecy. It's totally fine, but nobody thinks Andy Dalton is starting. He didn't get back into the game. Justin Fields finished it.
Maybe he's going. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to use Andy Dalton's potential health to force them to try and to force the Browns to just think about the fact that it might be him, and then it's going to be Justin Fields like we all
think. It's going to be Justin Fields the whole time. It's just this is not going to be any sort of competitive edge. The Browns will be preparing for Justin Fields.
It was so weird, like the injury. So you guys, we all saw the injury, and he was limping pretty badly when he comes over to the sideline. And then he starts to kind of eventually jog towards the locker room. And I'm like, okay, he's going to lock. But no, he was actually just going through some drills and doing some warm-ups. He then huddled up again with the trainer and a team doctor. It looked like he had talked them in, Andy Dalton had talked them into staying into the game. Mm-hmm. And then finally the trainer said, ah, no, come on, get up, get your helmet, let's go. You're going backstage. And he was questionable, then downgraded to doubtful all in the second half. So there's no way he's playing next.
Well Dalton, on the sack that went between Mustafa and Daniels, where Daniels was looking outside, ends up blocking nobody. So everybody's putting that on Mustafa, but I think it was at least in a big part on Daniels. That's when Dalton limped a lot worse, and it's after that series that he goes in. So I think he aggravated a little bit worse right there.
It's possible that that was the case, but he, like I said, he was trying to talk all those guys in. I mean, of course, after that sack immediately, and they are going down low on him, as they should, he comes over and tried to talk his way back in. And really, I'm thinking about that in dramatic terms. Is he's kind of trying to talk his way into the rest of this season when he's having that conversation. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to go deep, that's Andy Dalton's career right there.
Well, they said on the broadcast that it was maybe an injury of opportunity for Matt Nagy to play Justin Fields, right? Which makes some sense. Sure. And we think that Matt Nagy wants to play him. And if Dalton's trying to talk his way back in, he has to know it.
Yeah, I feel you on that one, Mark Grody, because yesterday was actually the first time I felt bad for Andy Dalton through this whole process.
Oh, stop.
No, I did. Dude was playing his ass off against his former team. He was proving doubters wrong at the home opener. We had been talking about a 3-and-out, they're going to boo, and he's marching them down the field, and they're looking pretty good. And he looked spry and healthy, and I felt bad for the guy.
I'm going to lift your spirit right now, Matt. Spiegel, I was going to call you Matt Nagy. As he went out with the injury, the folks in the north end zone gave him like a real cheer.
Good.
Like, and at the end of the game, when I was still out there and Andy Dalton by himself running into the tunnel, all the fans out there giving him a big, like, seemingly legit.
Because they're happy about Justin Fields.
Yeah, probably, kind of. We can like you now.
Oh, he's a nice guy. So what a pro.
Did Nagy talk about this? If it is Fields, has Dalton lost his job forever?
Oh, the what-if questions were coming today. Let's take a listen to the one here centering on Justin Fields. If Fields does start this week.
Do you imagine, might it be an awkward situation if Justin gets a start or two, then you have to decide whether to take him back out or not?
Well, we've again, that's like you just said, that's all stuff that we've talked about. We've discussed how things would go, the what-if game, you know, just so that you're not making emotional decisions. And you also got to see how things are going. You know, it's literally that process that you talk about with these quarterbacks and with players in general and with your offense, defense, special teams is kind of all going back to what we've talked about from day one, which is just worry about today. And so me as a head coach, Ryan as a GM, our coaching staff, we talk through a little bit of the what ifs, but we just try to stay in the moment right now.
Makes sense. If Justin Fields wins and looks great, he will play and it'll be easy. If Justin Fields looks totally overmatched, they probably will consider going back to Andy Dalton. But the other part of that is, if Justin Fields looks totally overmatched and it's a 2 or 3 or 4 week injury for Andy Dalton, well, then maybe they've lost 2 or 3 or 4 games. And now all of a sudden you're 1-3 or 1-4.
They won't make that call that early, I don't think.
They're 1-4? You know?
Wow.
Like, if Justin Fields plays, but they just keep losing, and like he plays, but they lose 3 straight, what's the point of going back to Andy Dalton when you're 1-3 or 1-4?
It's too early for them to concede. It is too early. In a 17-game season?
Well, they had a 6-game losing streak last year, and they made the postseason. There's no way they could look at them like as a franchise and say, we're 1-4, we're giving up, but we didn't give up when we lost 6 in a row.
Remember, the 6-game losing streak was a big plus.
That's right. Well,
it's all about how you look at the 6-game losing streak. They came out of it, remember?
They paraphrased that thing.
They were really, really proud of the character that it revealed. Let's take a quick break and come back second, you could explain why the hell they only had one target to tight ends on Sunday. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Hey, Chris, let me bring that. This. I could bring this full circle for you if you'd like.
Sure.
For this show that you're doing. You're doing the Hit and Run show, and I've always been a fan of Hit and Run. Honestly, not just saying that. And as I'm just about to come on the radio with you, I got a text message from none other than Ryan Sandberg, who played baseball, saying,
"Look at you!"
Yeah, saying "Happy Opening Day." So how about baseball, right? Baseball and football coming together, and he put the little thumbs up sign, and then there's a rhinoceros next to it. So I think he meant to put a bear. But there is a rhino. Oh, no, wait. Wait a minute. I'm an idiot. He put that because he's rhino.
I am an idiot.
Can't get anything past you.
Oh, my God.
That is so good.
You think Bear Bryant would sign off on a text with a rhinoceros symbol?
Like, that's where he learned today.
That's really strange. I just thought because Sandberg was talking football and he knows I do the Bears thing.
Boy, Bear Grylls just wished me a happy opening day.
I an eagle with doesn't he have a bird emoji?
So that's the best part after that is after Ranji like was just busting on me as he should, then Rhino texts me and just goes LOL.
Oh, that's amazing. Tiger Woods just sent me a kitty cat.
Do you think he meant a bear? Wow.
What's happening here?
Good job.
Everybody knows bears is my thing.
There's Rhino
That's
laughing.
Terrible.
Yeah, he was one of the worst pick a player contestants of all
life.
Time.
We all love it. Rhino's
Are those
picks.
Dogs?
Yeah.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
Woo. About them bears.
So Cole Kmet, 22 snaps. Or excuse me, Jimmy Graham, 22 snaps. I think that is one of the worst salary cap decisions I've seen in a long, long time. They have five tight ends on the roster, and they found guys, and they're not even using Jimmy Graham. And when they do, he misses blocks that would have ensured a Justin Fields touchdown. He has no business on this effing roster, and it drives me crazy. That's a Ryan Pace
thing. He had nine touchdowns last year.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
No, right. I thought he was a lot better last year than everybody thought.
Okay,
but
you used a second round pick on a tight end. You found three others in camp you wanted to keep.
I know. I'm just saying, Jimmy Graham was much better than I thought he was going to be last year. He's still too expensive, and he's still too old, and he still can't block.
But Matt Nagy doesn't use tight ends.
Well, that's...
Which is ironic, because when he came here, remember Trey Burton was like, he was the golden child for the Bears. Like, what I remember Matt Nagy specifically saying, oh, yeah, this is the guy. When we show players how to run certain routes, we show Trey Burton tape. And Burton did have a decent first year with the Bears, but then it just completely went downhill.
Yeah, the idea was that the offense needed the guy in the middle of the field who could run, like, the option routes, like Travis Kelce does for Mahomes. Like, Zach Ertz set the tight end reception record in this offense.
Yeah,
in Philly. But then, so yeah, they spend on Jimmy Graham. They Trey Burton works. They draft Cole Kmet, and then they throw to him one damn time yesterday.
Yeah, well, let's hear from Matt Nagy on that. He talked about how they're just the one target between the two heavies, tight end wise.
No, not enough targets yesterday, and they need to be more involved. And I'm well aware of that. That's my fault for that, and that's I don't want to say never going to happen again, but that's. That's not enough.
Just curious, no offense, but how does that happen? I mean, do you get lost in doing other things?
No. Sometimes it's just, you know, there are more targets sometimes that within a progression. I think within this offense, what you'll see is you won't always just see one guy all the time. So there might be a play that we called for a tight end. They took it away, you know. And I can think of a couple specifically that they've done that for. So they don't get the target, but the play was called for them. Right. And that's just sometimes that happens.
I guess. I don't think that it's...
So he says they're calling plays, just not targeted.
Well, and it's really crazy because you would think that that would be a simple way, especially for a young quarterback like Justin Fields, to get receptions, five-yard pass up the middle to one of your tight ends. Doesn't always have to be the deep ball.
Yeah. They need Cole Kmet to be real. They used a very significant draft asset on him, the first pick of that second round, right? And then they ended up with him and Jalen Johnson.
Uh-huh. Yep. Both second-round picks.
I'll just say in terms of overly scrutinizing the target share yesterday, it is weird when it's a rookie QB being thrust into action in the middle of the game and they didn't game plan for it, right? So just like we said, let's give Matt Nagy a week to see if he does a specifically tailored game plan for Justin Fields when he knows he's going to start him.
Yes.
I think the same thing is reasonable here for the target share and distribution in terms of who got the ball thrown to and when.
That's fair. What Danny just referenced, I think, is the key storyline for the whole week for me. Matt Nagy, notoriously inflexible and stubborn. After all, he is Hungarian. but Matt Nagy, will he tweak this offensive game plan to fit Justin Fields? I want the quarterback rollouts. We need bootlegs. He has to.
Yeah.
And more running plays that make use of Fields' ability to go wide and therefore give Montgomery those lanes straight up the field.
I think he gave you that example finally last year, the second Mitch Trubisky 2020 part two. Remember when he went back to just giving Trubisky half the field? Now, I'm not saying that that's what you're going to do with Justin Fields.
He didn't like it. Matt didn't like it. It had,
right.
He needed
and
Bill Lazor
was calling plays.
He needed Bill Lazor to actually do it because Matt doesn't like it.
Right. So I do think that they will cater to his style out there. I mean, if they don't, then they're doing it completely wrong. They're not going to give him the full playbook.
Bears Nuggets.
So a little bit of talk about taunting. I mean, we saw the two taunting penalties yesterday, and they are prevalent around the NFL.
Absolute garbage.
And it was interesting because Matt Nagy was posed with the question because of swagger. He always talks about swagger and getting the crowd pumped. And he admitted that there is a fine line between swagger and taunting. And he indicated that the idea of the penalty is to keep things moving. But it's obviously a larger discussion. Jason Peters played the whole game yesterday. I mean, that is
and was a beast.
That's worth
he
mentioning.
He was pancaking dudes.
Marcus looks skeptical.
He's ranked 10th on Pro Football Focus at left tackle. 10th around the league.
Let's see.
That's
a good D-line,
week,
man.
I'm just saying it's a nugget. Okay.
No, absolutely. I mean,
you're right.
Dude can play at a high level. The question is how long.
That's the part.
Mario Edwards scheduled to return this week. That could
off
help.
Off suspension.
Yep, 2-game suspension. I did watch Eddie Goldman in warmups yesterday, and he looked good. In terms of what they were doing, didn't look like he was favoring anything. And I was told again on the sideline that it's a legit day to day injury.
Well, they need him this week.
And finally, they do need him this week. I will be talking Bears at 6 o'clock. I have a very important 23-minute show tonight that I will be executing right here on 670.
Well, your hair looks great, so I hope you're on Twitch.
Thank you. That makes it all worth my while.
That is Moby Ditka, our Bears reporter. Want to play you a little something-something from Justin Fields coming up. Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.